Welcome to Soul Church Norwich Podcast. We pray this message will encourage and inspire you.
We're coming to the end pretty much today and a little bit next week of This Belongs to God series. Has this been a helpful series for people? And it was a word God gave me on a plane a few months ago that this belongs to God. And so we've been really just coining that phrase, and I think God's done some great things. It's great to see it on social media. Keep hashtagging it, This Belongs to God. Keep on the thisbelongstogod.com website. We'll keep praying for those needs as they come in. Okay, let's pray. Let's pray that God will just really bring a seal to this series. And Father, we thank you today for who you are. We thank you that you're a loving, heavenly, good Father, and you love us unconditionally, unreservedly, Father. Your love is eternal towards us. Lord, I pray as we unpack this message today, people would get a fresh glimpse of your character. Lord, I pray if there's any condemnation that people are sitting in today, Father, it will leave them during this service. In your name, amen. 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 You can take your seats. 10 years ago in Atlanta, the United States, a man was beaten unconscious out the back of a fast food restaurant, Burger King. And he had no identification on him. And when he was taken to hospital, when he eventually regained consciousness, they realized that he'd developed total amnesia. And for the past 10 years, I'm told, up until this point, he still does not know who he is. The FBI did fingerprints on him. They took his DNA. And the testing came back with nothing. In fact, Dr. Phil himself brought him onto his show, put him in front of the world and says, "Do you know this man? He has lost his identity." No one claimed him. The next step is they put a private investigator on him. And for the last 10 years, they're trying to trace the steps of who this man was. He doesn't know who he is to this day. Imagine if that was you. Would you imagine right now that you came to church today, you know where you know where you live, you know what car you drive, you know who you're married to, you know who your children are, you know which school you went to, you know your birthday. You know so much, but something dramatically happens and suddenly you have no more identity. You have no past, you have no present, you have no family, you have no connections. Who knows that would be a traumatic, scary experience. Now, this is exactly what Satan wants to do to our identity. He is trying to erase you, trying to erase the person who God created you to be. We hear a lot with the word spiritual warfare. I believe one of the main acts of spiritual warfare is to take away our identity. The devil has declared war, especially on the next generation. That's why I've asked Voltage and Fuel to stay in today. But the devil has declared war on your identity, on our identity as adults and especially young people. Now, I don't like talking about the devil at all, but I want to just give you an understanding a little bit about who the devil is. The devil cannot create. Okay, he cannot create. God is the creator of all things. All he can do is pervert, hurt, and destroy. Okay, that's what the devil does. He perverts things, what God meant for good, he perverts them. He destroys things, and he hurts things. That's his main aim in life, is to do those things. Satan always tries to take what God meant for good and pervert it. He hurts it, and he destroys it. Now, God is so big. In fact, he is so big, your human mind could not comprehend the magnitude of God. The devil cannot hurt God. He's just too big. If the devil and God came up in a boxing ring, there wouldn't even be the time to ring the first bell. It would be over. Okay? He's just too big. And the devil knows that. He knows he's a finished sort. But what the devil does do is he goes after our children. His children, God's children. Now, if you want to hurt me, okay, or Chantel, don't bother writing me an email. Because I ain't going to read it if it's nasty. Occasionally I get them, I just put them in the trash and delete it. Because I don't want that in my mind. But if you want to hurt me, go after my kids. Any parents out there who know what I'm talking about. And so the way the enemy tries to hurt God, he cannot go one-on-one with him because he knows he's finished. He tries to hurt God by going after his children, which is us. So how does Satan keep us from knowing our true identity? Now, the first 10 minutes of this message are going to be a little bit, okay? But we're going to lift it, all right? But I need to set this foundation so you understand, because if there's anything that is under attack right now, it's the identity of believers. So how does Satan keep us from knowing our true identity? There's five ways that he does this. Number one is opinions. Opinions. Has anyone had an opinion on how your life should be? I'll say it again. Has anyone ever had an opinion on how your life should be? Who they want you to be, not necessarily who God made you to be. Maybe it was your parents. They had an opinion about what university you should go to, or what school you should go to, or what career you should take. And people try their whole lives to mold us into their opinion of us. The second way that the enemy keeps us from knowing our true identity is hurt. Has anyone ever been hurt? Yeah. Seven of us hurt. It's the church to be in, by the way, if you visit, and you don't get hurt in this church. You know, if Satan can get you bitter, resentful, guiltful, shameful, or we miss our true identity. Have you ever met Mr. Angry? Have you ever met Mrs. Bitter? Do you know Mrs. Bitter was not born baby bitter? I've never met a bitter baby. You've never looked at a beautiful, isn't that a bitter, bitter baby? You ever met a little newborn? What an angry little baby. I'll tell you what makes you bitter and what makes you angry. Hurt. Hurt changes you. We weren't born bitter, we became bitter. We weren't born shameful. We lived in shame. The third way the enemy tries to remove our true identity is the media. You know, we're constantly bombarded by messages. We live in the social media age, don't we? I mean, how many is there now? There's so many. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. What's the other one? Snapchat, whatever that is. See, I am getting old. But there's constant messengers bombarding us all the time. Why can't you be like that person? Why can't you sing like that person? Why can't you look like that person? Why can't you just be something else? And the media, especially social media, is constantly trying to turn us into something that wasn't our true identity. I remember when I was 15, 16 years old, I would go to the hairdresser and say, "Can I have a David Beckham?" They would have pictures on the wall of who your hair could look like. And you could buy a David Beckham shirt, and constantly you can live trying to be someone else. I might have had David Beckham's hair, but I didn't have his right foot. The fourth way the enemy keeps us from our true identity is voices in our mind. Now, in 2010, I had the opportunity to run a marathon in Cape Town, South Africa, called the Two Oceans Marathon. Has anyone ever run that marathon? Okay, one here, two there, brilliant. Okay, so there's two or three of us that have run it. All right, so the Two Oceans Marathon is an ultra marathon. So I think it's 56 kilometers, and it's up and down a mountain, and you go through the Indian Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean. That's why it's called Two Oceans. Now, it all sounded good on paper. The only reason I did it is Mark Hollinger told me I couldn't. That was enough for me. If you tell me I can't do something, that was enough. That's why the more people that tell me we're not going to build the church, it just gets better and bigger. Okay, but to do the Two Oceans Marathon, you had to go to an induction, because many people have, you know, they got injured, or people have even died on that marathon. So you've got to get yourself equipped. And so went to the induction, and this gentleman stood up the front, and he said, "I have run 40 something Two Ocean Marathons." Wow. He says, "So I'm here today to help you, to educate you, get you ready for the Two Oceans in 12 months. This was 12 months before it actually happened. And Chantel was with me. And he said, "Before I talk about nutrition, before I talk about what trainers to wear, before I talk to you about how many runs, I need to talk to you about this parrot called Percy. And he got this stuffed animal, and he'd put it on his shoulder. He says, "This is Percy." I'm thinking, what have I come to? I'm getting lectured on a parrot. And he said, what happens is, he says, Percy the parrot are the voices that will come to you just before you go out training, and it'll say this, "Oh, just stay in today, you can do it tomorrow. Don't worry about it, you can get through without training. Oh, just eat that cheeseburger." And he said, and then on the day of the race, he said, Percy the parrot will tell you to start walking when you need to run. And parrot will tell you to stop. And he said, Percy the parrot is the voice in your head. And he said, for every one of you in this room, he said, only 30 or 40% of you will ever complete this marathon, he said, because of Percy the parrot. He said, because Percy the parrot's going to chirp at you from this day on until you complete. He says, and the moment you cross the finish line, Percy will fly off. He says, he'll be on your shoulder until that day. I'll never forget that moment, because as he was speaking, Percy the parrot is simply like the enemy in our lives. And this is the kind of thing that Percy perches on our shoulder and says to us. He says, you've got to earn God's acceptance to be loved by him. You don't matter. You're not going to amount to anything in life. Remember that sin you committed in 1998? I could never, ever forgive you for that. You should be ashamed of yourself. I'll just say this about shame. All shame comes from the devil. All shame. All shame. The Bible says, I did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. And so Percy is the voice on our shoulder. Maybe Percy said this to you at work, you can never do anything right. And Percy, we allow him, if we allow him, he just sits on our shoulder, chirping away. And as he does that, suddenly we lose our identity. Now you think, well, man, there's four really, really bad ones. Hey, there's one even worse than that. This is the fifth voice. In fact, this is the most powerful voice in our life. It's called the repeater. The repeater. The repeater is simply that we keep repeating everything that Percy has said about us in our past. The devil never has to mention anything again. As long as he says it once and we start repeating it, we start becoming what he says. We start saying things like, I'm worthless. We start saying things like, I'll never amount to anything. I had a conversation recently with a man, and I remember having the conversation with him 10 years previously, and it was exactly the same thing. He was like, John, I just feel worthless. Why? Because 10, 15 years ago, a dad or a teacher or someone told him he was worthless. It was only once the enemy used him, and Percy said it once, and he's just spent the next 10 years. The devil's gone. He's gone in the distance, but he's just spent his last 10 years, I'm worthless. I'm worthless. I'm useless. I'll never amount to anything. And let me tell you, the repeater is your enemy. Because the language then becomes our identity. It becomes like a parrot in our life. We just repeat everything the enemy's said. So with all these tools being used against us, how do we know who the real me is? How do I know who the real me is? The word Christian in the Bible, surprisingly enough, is only used twice. Christian. It's simply used to describe someone who is a follower of Jesus. There is a term that is used a whole lot more. In fact, 140 times the word in Christ is used. In Christ. It's exactly the same as describing someone who is a Christian. So rather talking about a Christian today, I want to talk about being in Christ. Because being in Christ is your true identity. My identity is not in what I do, but who I am in Christ. You might be a scientist. You are not a scientist. You are Simon in Christ. You might be a footballer. You are Steve in Christ. Because so many times we use what we do as our identity. That's what we do. But who we are is who we are in Christ. And today, I don't want to talk about your identity and who you are at work, whether you're a CEO, whether you're an executive. We're putting all that to side because our true identity is found in Christ. Because you might be a footballer today and gone tomorrow. You might be a CEO today and lose your job tomorrow. And if your identity is in what you do, you will lose hope. But if your identity is in who you are in Christ, whatever job, whatever season of life you're in, you will have confidence and acceptance and strength in that. Yeah. So Peter gives us four identity marks when we are in Christ. Welcome, Facebook, by the way. Good to have you with us. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. He's talking about us. You ready for this? This is some of the most powerful verses in Scripture. You have been chosen by God Himself. You are priests of the King. You are holy and pure. You are God's very own. All this that you may show to others how God called you out of darkness into His glorious light. I want to talk this morning on my identity belongs to God, but I want to talk about three things. God's view of me in Christ. God's view of you in Christ. The first view is this. I am completely accepted. The first thing I want you to know today is this. You are completely accepted. Peter says this, you have been chosen by God. Now, we all have wounds. Wounds that have come from rejection. Family members, church leaders, employers, brothers, sisters. We've all been wounded, okay? If you think you're the only person who's ever been wounded in life, you're in very good company, okay? Because we've all been hurt, we've all been rejected. And rejection causes a deep wound. Can anyone kind of relate to this today? Rejection causes a deep wound. So what do we do when we've been wounded and hurt is we try to find acceptance in other things, other people, other places. And we base our acceptance on how well we are doing rather than what God says about us. Our desire to be accepted changes the way we talk, it changes the way we dress, it changes the way we do our hair, it changes what we do in life, simply because we're crying out for acceptance. Everything about you says something about you. It cries out to someone else. And Peter's trying to help the church, and he's saying, I want to help you here with identity. The first thing is I want you to know today is that you are completely accepted. I remember being at school, and people would just start smoking. I remember speaking to my friend Owen. I said, Owen, why are you smoking? He says, I just want to be with that lot. What he was saying is, I want to be accepted. So people would literally go to the trees behind the shed and they would start smoking, not because they enjoyed it, but because suddenly they felt accepted. Suddenly they were a part of the crew. They were one of them. And some of them are smoking to this day simply because they wanted to be accepted. People throw away their virginity simply because they can come in and say, hey, this is what I've done. Now I'm accepted. I'm in the cool crew. Acceptance. People change their language. Remember back at college and school, good people just start, their mouths would become a potty mouth because they wanted to be accepted, because if they spoke a certain way, they'd be accepted into the group. And we do the craziest things in life. Listen up, young people. You don't want to miss this. We do the craziest thing in life just to feel accepted. Why? Why do we do the craziest things in life to feel accepted? Because the pain of rejection is so much more. Now, here's the good news. The flip side of rejection is being chosen. Who loves being accepted? Who loves being chosen for that promotion at work? Who loves being honored? We all love being chosen. Humanity loves acceptance. Now, there's some really, really good news from this verse today. We do not have to chase after acceptance because acceptance is a gift from God. If you want a promotion at work, guess what? You got to talk to the right people, do the right things, be seen in the right places, and you might get accepted to get where you want to be. But acceptance from God, you cannot earn it, you don't deserve it. Acceptance is simply a free gift. And God is saying today, I completely accept you exactly the way you are, the way you dress, the way you talk, the way you look, the way you smell, everything God loves and accepts about you. You have been chosen by God himself. Some of you are saying, I hear you today, John, but I just don't feel that. Sometimes we don't always feel it. And that's where we need God's word. Because in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, I love this. It says, long ago, even before he made the world, God chose us to be his very own. Through what Christ would do for us, he decided then to make us holy in his eyes without a single fault. We who stand before him covered with his love. Long ago, listen to this, long ago before he even made the world. Think about this, before God even created the mountains, the galaxies, the sun, before he did anything, he chose you. That makes me feel accepted today. You were chosen before God even got to work on planet Earth or planet Pluto or whatever planet exists. Guess what? He was thinking about you. Before the Earth began, you were on his mind. He said, Dick, you're accepted. I accept you right now just the way you are. That's how deep God's love is towards us today. We need to stop trying to perform our way to acceptance. Some of you think if you read your Bible more, God's going to accept you more. If you pray more, God's going to accept you more. All those things are good and we need to do them. If you give more in half the house, God's going to accept you more, love you more. God loves you and accepts you for who you are. His love, his acceptance will never change. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, you are completely accepted. It is a gift. I want us to say this out loud. I am completely accepted to God. I love it. Number two, God's view of you. First of all, is you're completely accepted. Number two is this, that I am extremely valuable. In the King James version of these scriptures in 1 Peter, he says this, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. I like it when people talk in terms of me as royalty. I think it's good to know that I've got royal blood. Royal blood. We've got some royalty here today. You know, this verse gets even better. I'm not just accepted. I'm valuable. I'm valuable. You're valuable. God says today, I don't just accept you. I value you. You know, you could be accepted into something but not valued. You ever been accepted for a job but not valued in it? You've been accepted in a sports team but not valued for your contribution. So it's not enough. Acceptance is just not enough. God says, I accept you, but hey, there's another level. You are a royal priesthood. We value you. In fact, you're not just valuable, you're extremely valuable. I want to go one further and change the point. You're not just extremely valuable, you're priceless. A few years ago, Chantel and I had the privilege of going to the Tower of London to visit the Royal Crown Jewels. I think I've got a picture of it. And we were wandering around and we had a tour guide. And I said to the tour guide, I said, tell me a little bit about these. I said, you know, if you put them on eBay, what would they fetch? He looked at me with a strain. He said, well, he says, they're priceless. I said, what do you mean priceless? He said, there is no person in this world who could offer any money to purchase, I don't know, these 7 or 8 pieces of jewelry. I couldn't quite get my head. Who struggles to believe that? I mean, they're priceless. They'll never be up for sale. They're priceless. And as he said that, I felt God say to me, that's exactly how I see my children. You're not just acceptable. They're not just, that's not acceptable. They're not even valuable. They're not even extremely valuable. They're priceless. You are God's treasured possession. You are priceless. He cannot put a price on your head. Our worth to God is not just acceptable, but priceless. If you think about things in life, you know, stuff, what is it which makes things valuable? Well, the first thing which makes things valuable is this, the owner. The owner. I've got some trainers here. These are a pair of Nike golf shoes. They've only been worn once. They're size 9s. Who'd give me a tenner for those? Tenner. 15? Heart for the house? Now, what I haven't told you about these is I'm not the owner. Well, I am now, but Rory McIlroy wore these when he won the US Masters. Should we start the bidding at 100? Now, he didn't wear them. These are mine. I can't play golf, and that's why they've never been worn. Couldn't think of a better illustration. But the thing is, when you find out who owned them, their value went up. So here's the question. Who do you belong to? Who do you belong to? Now, if you don't have any self-worth about your Heavenly Father, let me tell you, your identity will be wrong. But if you know who you're owned by, you have a loving Heavenly Father who loves you, suddenly, when Christ is your owner, you become valuable in Him. I belong to the King of Kings. I am royal blood. Deuteronomy 7:6 says, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you." Here we hear it again. "Out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be His people." Wait for this. His treasured possession. You are treasured. No one values you more than God. You are His treasured possession. So the first thing which makes things valuable is the owner. The second thing which makes things valuable is this. It's what people are prepared to pay for it. You might think, oh, these are great. Here it is. If you only give me a fiver, they're only worth a fiver. How much do you think your house is worth? Less than you think. I'll tell you why. Because what we think it's worth and what it's worth is determined by the person who buys it, not by what you think it's worth. Have you ever got excited about selling your house until you get your first offer? Because what we think we're worth and what it's worth is two different things. I am valuable because Jesus gave His life for me. Grab this now. Grab this. Come with me. I am valuable because Jesus gave my life. This is what my life's worth. Someone else's life. Oh, my word. Even more than priceless possession, Jesus, He gave His life for me. I'm valued, first of all, because of who I belong to, but my second value is what God was prepared to pay for me. He was prepared to pay the ultimate sacrifice, which was His child. I love you a lot, but I'm not going to give my children up for you. And you're not going to give your kids up for me. But God gave His Son, His only Son, to die on a cross. And today, you are valuable. But John, I feel like trash. Let me tell you this. God did not send His Son to die for trash. He died because you were valuable. John, I feel worthless. You're not worthless. Someone doesn't die for you if you're worthless. You're treasured of God. I'm completely accepted. I'm extremely valuable. Number three, I am eternally loved. I am eternally loved. 1 Peter 2:9 says, you have been chosen by God. You're a royal priesthood. You're holy and pure. And then he says this, you are God's very own. Here's the deal. You're part of God's family now. Some of you are walking this journey all alone, but you don't need to, you're not alone. You're part of his family. God says this. He says, I'm not ashamed that you're a part of my family. Maybe someone's said to you in the past, maybe, can't believe you're a part of my family. And those words have stuck. I'll tell you today, whatever you've done in life, you're still part of God's family. He will never reject you. He accepts you. You might be embarrassed by your crazy mother-in-law or the cousin you wish you never had, but here's the thing. God will never embarrass you. God will never, 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 ever, 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 ever be ashamed of you. Shame is lifting off people here today. Because the only shame has come from someone else. It's not come from God. You are eternally loved. Eternally. There's no limit. There's no ending. His love. These are the two characteristics of God's love. If you want to write down God's love, his characteristics, number one is this. His love is everlasting. I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. What does that everlasting mean? It means unending. It means constant. Constantly loves you. Even when I fail him, even when I mess up, even when I say things I shouldn't and do things and let people down, his love towards me. His love is everlasting. And then it says, his love is unfailing. What is unfailing love? It's simply a love without conditions. You see, human love might come to an end. Maybe you've been in a marriage that's collapsed. Maybe love has a condition. I'll love you if you do this. I'll love you if you do that. And often so much of our love, our human love, is conditional. But God's love is, it's unending, but it's also unconditional. Unconditional, everlasting love. I don't know about you, but I struggle with this. Anyone else struggle that someone could love me? Someone could love you unconditionally? Everlastingly? I tell you why we struggle is sometimes we've never experienced that in our own lives. But this is not human love. This is agape love, the love of Christ towards you. God's love is here this morning. You see, before I am a pastor, before I'm a chaplain, before I'm a dad, before I'm a brother, before I'm a son, before I'm a leader, this has to be my true identity. I am completely accepted. I am extremely valuable. And I am eternally loved. Now, if you can take that on as your identity today, it's going to change your life. It will change your life. But if you allow Percy opinions, if you allow voices, they will shape who the enemy wants you to become, not who God created you to be. But if you can wake up every morning and say, God, thank you that your mercies are new every morning. And thank you, even though everyone else has rejected me, I felt rejected at work, at school, in college. I felt rejected even in my marriage. Today, I am accepted completely in you. And Father, I thank you today that I'm extremely valuable. My value is not in my career. My value is not in my bank balance. My value is not in what someone said about me. My value is simply in you. I am your treasured possession. I am valuable because who my owner is, and I am valued because what someone was prepared to pay for me. And I am eternally loved. Unconditionally. Unending. Your love towards me is constant. That is my true identity. Amen. My identity belongs to God. Would you stand to your feet this morning? I really feel the Spirit of God moving, and we're going to pray for a couple of groups of people, but I've asked the worship team just to sing this out. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I want us to sing out about who we are in Christ today. Not in who you think you should be or who you used to be, but who you are today in Christ. Some of you need to put on a new identity today. Not based on what someone says you should look like, speak like. Hey, today, you're completely accepted, extremely valuable, and eternally loved by God. Amen. Come on, let's sing together. Thank you. I want to pray for a couple of groups of people this morning. The first group of people is this. You've never accepted Christ as your Father. So your value, you felt worthless in life because you've never known that your true value is who loves you, which is God. Maybe you've never understood your value because you never realized that someone actually paid a price for your life. The ultimate price. Death on a cross. And he died that cruel death. As we think about and we talk about a lot around Easter time, he did that because he believes in you. He believes in your potential. He believes in what you can be. He doesn't want you to live in someone else's identity. He doesn't want you to live with no identity. He wants you to have the identity of Christ, which is strength and confidence and assurance. This morning, you can have that by simply opening up your heart to him. You say, John, I don't deserve that. You don't know how messed up, screwed up my life is. Let me tell you, you're in very good company today. We've all sinned. The Bible says, for all have sinned. We've all fallen short. It's not about what you've done wrong. It's about what Jesus Christ did right on your behalf. Today you can receive his love, receive his acceptance, understand your value in him, and know that you're eternally loved simply by opening up your heart to Jesus. Give him a try today. Maybe you've tried so many other things. Today, try Jesus. He will never let you down. He'll be there in the best times. He'll be there in the darkest moments. That's who he is. When I get to three, I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you once followed Jesus months, years ago, but your life's disconnected from him. This morning, you can come home. You can find your value and acceptance in him again. When I get to three, all I want you to do all over this room is simply slip up your hand. Say, John, include me in that prayer. You were speaking to me in that message. I need to pray right now all over this room. One, God loves you. Two, would you have the courage and the strength just to slip up your hand so I can pray? Three, nice and high. Let me pray for you all over this room. Say, that's me. Thank you, Lord. God bless you. Anyone else? Say, that's me. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Beautiful. Fantastic. All right, you can put your hands down. Let's say this prayer out loud together as a family. Dear Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he loves me. Thank you that he accepts me. Right now, I open up my heart. I say sorry for my sins. Sorry for living life my own way. Today, I invite you, Jesus, to be the Lord and the Savior of my life. I am now in Christ. Amen. Amen. Come on. Beautiful. If you lifted up your hand, hopefully one of our team would have seen you lift it up at the back. And please don't just run away, because this isn't the end. This is the beginning. We've got a gift for you. It's a beautiful, colorful, illustrated, modern-day translation of the Bible. And if no one comes and speaks to you, maybe you didn't lift up your hand, but you really said that prayer from your heart. When you walk out into the atrium, you'll see a big wall. It says, Jesus is life. Some of our team will be hanging around there with some Bibles. Go and speak to them. We'd love to help you, connect with you, and answer any questions you have about this morning or the next steps on from here. Come on, one more time. Let's thank everyone who's made that decision today. Amazing. Now, I was putting that message together this week, and God was really speaking to me about some identity stuff in my life. So I know if I'm opening myself up here, I know you guys must have been feeling the same thing. But if you're saying, you know what, today I've struggled with one of those three things, whether it's acceptance, value, or love, I want you just to lift up your hand. My hand went up first, by the way, because I'm battling some of this stuff on my own. You know, people try and turn me into something that I'm not called to be, and I'm sure people are doing it to you. And I want to pray right now. Come on, let's just be honest. What have we got to lose? Just be true to who God made you. He loves you. He accepts you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray today that you would reveal yourself afresh to your church. Lord, the identity issue is a huge issue which society faces right now. But I thank you today that we are completely accepted. Lord, it's not this group is and this group isn't. It's a complete acceptance. Your love isn't based on our behaviors even. It's not even based on performance. It's simply based on your son, Jesus. And so today, I pray that people would feel accepted. Lord, I also thank you that acceptance wasn't enough. That we're not just accepted, we're valuable. We're not just valuable, we're priceless. Lord, I pray today that people would see their value go up. Just as a value might go up on a house or a car, that people's value would go up today. Lord, your value, the way you see them, Father, is they're priceless. But I pray that they would see that in themselves today. In Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that we're eternally loved. Human love might come to an end. Human love might come with conditions. But today, we are eternally loved because we are in Christ. Shame, I ask you to leave the room right now. I speak to shame right now. You have no right in this place. You have no right in people's lives. I command you, shame, to leave this room right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Shame is disappearing. Shame is lifting off people's lives. Come on, who the sun sets free. You've got to live in your true identity. You've got to get the wrong identity off your life. And shame no longer has dominion over your life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Be still and know that He is God. He is your identity today. Your identity is not in your job. Your identity is not in your title. Your identity is not in your education. Your identity is in Him. Those things will let you down, but God will never let you down. You know, the first thing on my social media is this: I'm a Christian. I don't want to list anything about who I am. I'm a pastoral leader. That can come later. But the number one thing when people look at my bio is this: my identity, first and foremost, is I am a Christian. Before I'm married, before I'm a dad, here's the thing: I am in Christ. We've got to let the world know who we are. Don't be loud on a Sunday and quiet on a Monday. Let the world know I'm in Christ, because that's your true identity. Don't have two identities. Don't have your Sunday identity and your Monday identity. Young people, be as passionate about Jesus on a Monday as you are a Sunday. Your identity is in Him. Because let me tell you, all my friends who I grew up in school, they would do anything to have my life now, simply because I kept my identity in Christ. There is no life outside of Jesus. There is no future outside of Jesus. He says He is the way. There is no other way but through Jesus, both in this life and the next. I want us just to draw this to a conclusion, and Jeremiah is going to jump up. But it says this. It says, you have been chosen, accepted by God Himself. You are a royal priesthood. We're valued. You're holy and pure. You're God's very own. That's eternal love. Can we just put that back on the screen? 1 Peter 2:9. But I want you just grab this final piece of the jigsaw this morning, because this is where it kind of brings it all home. They're going to bring it up. 1 Peter 2:9. Okay, I'm going to read it out. Here we go. It says, all this, God has done all this. So everything that God has shown us today, all this so that you may show to, oh my goodness. So this isn't just about me anymore. Yes, I'm valued. Yes, I'm accepted. Yes, I'm loved. Woohoo! Here's the thing. Now, my response, here's what we do. We show others acceptance. We show others value. We show others love. God didn't just do that for you. He did it so that you could help others. So today, we take the love, the value, the acceptance of Christ. And this is how Christ expects us to treat others. He expects this of us. Now, we're not always going to get it right. We're going to fall short. We're going to mess up. We get that, and God gets that. But the expectancy on me this week from God is this. I would value those who feel they have no value. I would love those who feel unloved. And I know accept those who may others pushed out. That is when you know you are fully in Christ. Because, hey, why? Because God accepted me, God valued me, and God loved me. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died in our place. So I was still a sinner, God still accepted me, He still valued me, and He still loved me. Now the message to the church this week is take it to the streets. Amen. God bless.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to see you at one of our Sunday services. For locations and times, please visit soulchurch.com.